My favorite program is the one we're on right now.
Hey.
Every week, I get to work with all kinds of information. But this is the information that produces the transformation. And that's why I love it the most. With me is my transformation dream team, Carl and Mercedes. And I see Jonathan.
Yeah.
Off to the side. Oh, there he is.
There he is.
Hello, hello.
Mr.
Jonathan,
Monin.
You're wearing a hat today. What's the hat all about?
It's just a hat. Bad hair day. nothing special.
An insignificant and meaningless prop.
Yeah. It's not insignificant. It's about city life.
Okay. Well, all right, look. Today, for those of you that are on our Level 10 journey with us, our team is just going through this together for the last hour, unlocking your story. It seems like an unusual subject to have of all the modules, four modules to conquering the mountain of me. Why would unlocking your story, a subject you never even hear people sermonize about, why would that be significant? Because transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. And your mind has to be renewed regarding the script, the story, the narrative, the database, the black box recording of everything you've ever thought and everything you've ever experienced up to now has to be put through a filter and adjusted. Transformation depends on you unlocking the real story of your life, your experiences, what's been happening, who you are, what you're called to do, and how to think through the filter of the Word of God from this day forward. And thinking from this day forward means you have to apply this from this day past. Everything you've experienced has to be put through the filter of what really happened, because that's grounding your life in truth. And you'd be shocked at how many people's lives are a script, a narrative, designed to serve them. Everyone has a story that works for them. Nobody has a story that doesn't. I mean, a terrorist explained to you why they are the way they are. There's everyone, in a sense, feels compelled to make sense of their behavior by justifying it through the filter of their lens of reality, their experience, and how their life has been. But you see, that's the trick. Getting to the place where you say, man, how much of what I've been believing maybe isn't true? Wow. Maybe my life has been different than I thought. It's really liberating. It's liberating the moment that you let go of the stories you're telling yourself. Because that means you can be free to write a new story. If you got a story where I'll give you an example, and I'm going to flip it over to you guys. I was counseling someone yesterday. A friend of mine, and it's a mom. And she goes, I just keep getting taken advantage of. It happens to me all the time. I don't get paid what I'm worth. Happens to me all the time. Right away, because of this material, I knew something. I knew whatever's going on, this person is setting themselves up for the experience they're having, because they're choosing the jobs they're taking, and they're negotiating their own contracts. And the end for them is always the same. They're getting taken advantage of. Well, clearly this is a setup, and they're at the scene of every crime. And I pretty much told them that. And I said, we can go into how to do this differently, but I'm telling you, all your outcomes are predictable because you're the one creating them. It was a pause. I know, at a deep level, we know we're somehow reaping what we sow. But it's not easy to admit it because we don't know what we're doing. All right, let me throw it over to you guys.
Yeah, I'm curious. Mercedes, what was your take on that conversation with my dad that you had yesterday?
I was going to say, it was not me that had that conversation, ironically.
Yeah, it wasn't Mercedes.
I'm always paid when I'm working.
If it was Mercedes.
There you go.
No, I only talk about Mercedes when she's not on the program. When she's on, I never illustrate with Mercedes.
I just thought that was funny, but no, you know, I really appreciate, you know, the beginning part of this section that you wrote in here, Lance, in the Unlocking Your Story handbook here, workbook, I guess. It's just this idea that, you know, you really are the author, the director, the producer, the editor of your own life story. And so we possess the ability to take certain scenes out, to rewrite them, to write a new narrative, to reframe it. So I think that's a really powerful analogy that you have in here. I mean, that really the first five pages of this book are incredibly eye-opening. And I think it's a completely different paradigm to look at how you're living your life and honestly to take ownership over it.
Well, let's go in. If you got the book with you, you don't, you got to get it. Unlocking Your Story. We have four modules on taking the mountain of me. This is one of the modules. I don't even know if the sequence you start with the material really matters because they all interconnect. They're all a cycle that comes back and forth again.
Just to that point, I really like starting with a strategy. So I prefer that people start the program with your ultimate life strategy because it kind of offers an overview for the curriculum and gives them an idea of the roadmap as to where to plug in different templates that we have in here. So you're absolutely right. When you do get the program, when you get the Mountain of Me, you don't need to start where we start. You don't need to start anywhere in particular. It's up to you. I personally just recommend when I walk people through the curriculum to start with your ultimate life strategy.
Yeah, and if you're watching now for the first time, start with this.
That's
my point. You
exactly.
can start right here. And yeah. It's like, you never see like the Ferris wheel. Is that a Ferris wheel that goes around like this?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it stops, you get off, and you get on. Any point you get, you're going to do the whole journey at whatever time you watch this program.
Good call.
So you can get all four modules, or you can get the one you got. Let me just show you a quick, I'm going to go over the whiteboard real quick.
Woo.
Show you the picture as to where this module fits. We use a level 10 model as a level 10 life as being our model. Let's go back to why we say that. Well, because John 10:10 says, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so what is the essence of life? Well, the essence of life is the quality of life that you're living. Jesus died at 33 and a half years of age. His life was cut short, the Bible says, because sin cuts you short, and he became our substitute. So he didn't have the full 70, 80, 90, 120 years the Bible promises, because the Father's plan for him was that he would be the glorified Son of God that would reconcile man back to God. And so his joy or his great success was going to be an accomplishing what the Father called him to do. So this is up here is your divine purpose. What is it that God has called you to do? And in that place, we like to put this face in the future. This is where you're ultimately called to accomplish your assignment. So for Jesus, it was 3.5 years of ministry, training others, demonstrating his power, and then dying for mankind and rising again from the dead. He accomplished what the Father called him to do in 3.5 years. So I would say for the team here that defining success isn't the world system, which is how, you know, how popular were you? How much money did you make? How big a thing you had. It's whether or not you did what the Father called you. If the Father called you to be a multi-billionaire that funds the kingdom or to have a worldwide ministry, you're failing if you're not doing that. So we really have to talk about what is the purpose God has for your life. Level 10 living is enjoying the journey as you fulfill the destiny. Anything you want to add to that? Is that fair?
I think that is one of the distinguishing factors of our material versus, you know, Tony Robbins or somebody like that. It's not, hey, what are the dreams you have in your life? But it's literally, what's God's dream for your life? And are you achieving that? So I think I love all this. Keep going.
That's really cool. So I'm going to use that language here with our purple pen.
Purple pen.
I'm going to say, you know, what is God's dream? Now, having said all that, God's dream for you is the Bible itself. It tells you what his dream is. His dream for you is that you would live free and that you would have peace and you would have joy and that you would see the supernatural manifest in your life and you see other people impacted by your life. So we know that, but what we're looking for is a specific, where is your destiny? And on various ages, this becomes a very challenging issue. When you're young, you have one set of challenges. What do I do in my life? But when you're older, you have narrower options. You have a time period, which you have to kind of go more specific. So this model works this way. You're here. Down here, we call this by various means, but this is the heart journey. We look at this largely as passion. When you're doing what is in alignment with your assignment, you can experience the passion of the pursuit. Even if you're in a contradiction, if you're doing what God called you to do, you can experience the passion. This is a large part of the emotional part of the journey. When I was a younger Christian, I'd read the faith books, Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, and it's almost like feelings were made adversarial. Like, we're not led by feelings, we're led by faith. And you almost create like a feeling lobotomy job, which is like, well, I'm not supposed to be led by feelings, so feelings are deceptive. I'm just going to go by what I believe. You almost become like a head person in that world. But God didn't design you to be that way, nor do I think they were really teaching that, but that's how it kind of was. It came out during that era.
That's how it came across.
Yeah, that's how it came across. What the real biblical model is that you do have feelings, because the joy of the Lord is a feeling. It may not be coming from your feelings, but you can taste it. Peace, tranquility, serenity is a state. It's a feeling. Righteousness is basically not so much a feeling. It's a peace with God because of a clean conscience. But what I want you to catch is at least 2/3 of the kingdom of God is a state, an altered state. What the faith teaching really was saying is, you don't start with your feelings. You start with faith, and it produces the feelings. That's why I want you to see that if you're not living with level 10 passion, if you're not living a level 10 emotional life, if you don't have joy, if you don't have peace, if you don't have hope, the good news is there's more for you to take, because God's desire is fullness of joy with his presence, that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Spirit, you're filled with hope and joy and peace. It's impossible to be filled with God and be depressed and busted up and desperate. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Imagine this as a continuum. I don't know where you are now. At any moment, any day, I may feel like I'm operating at a level 5. But I know then that one of my jobs is to get myself over into a level 10 alignment with where the Spirit of God wants me at. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to continue to move the needle until I can kind of walk in that contentment. What is this arc over here? If this is the heart journey, then the Bible says that David led Israel with skillfulness of hand and integrity of heart. The heart part is here. The hand is over here. This is your skill. God really puts you in a balancing act. He's looking at your heart. What's your attitude? What's your motive? How are you showing up? But then he's promoting you based upon your skill. So the skill, I often use the... You just put a person there, a face there, because this is like the wisdom angle. And there's a wisdom and a skill aspect here. Operating at a level 10 really means that you're operating with a clarity as to how you're gifted, what your talents are, and what you understand your purpose to be. This is the wisdom aspect. So we put a lot of energy into the wisdom aspect, because the clearer you are in your design, for instance, how are you made? How did God wire you? What stage of life are you in? What phase of dream are you working through? The clearer you are with level 10 clarity, Jesus said, for this purpose I was born. He wasn't wandering around for 3.5 years trying to figure out who he was and what he had to do. He knew his mission. He knew his purpose. He knew what he had to accomplish. That's level 10 clarity. You're looking for level 10 clarity. That's what we're going to be praying you get during this process. What am I called to do? How am I called to do it? Passion is the art of living. It's how to improvise day to day to experience the fullness of the moment. This other continuum here is the wisdom of living, or the science of living. It's what do you do with finances? How do you build relationships? How do you handle conflict? That's wisdom stuff. Now, Carl, I think, has a kind of a unique part to play in some of this, because I think of him with this one other component. When we put this model together, we have numbers for these different stages. Over here is where you see your face in the future. To a great degree, your purpose is prophetic. We all see where is God calling us to go. We have a prophetic vision. But where we are is having to navigate forward. Life has its wobbly ways of getting there. Sometimes Paul had a shipwreck. Sometimes he had a trial. Sometimes he was in prison. Joseph had the same problem. Sometimes he was put in a pit. Sometimes he was falsely accused. But regardless of the vicissitudes of life, there is a path that God will take you on so that it's always moving you in the direction of your purpose. What we're looking for is level 10 clarity in the process. We understand what God is doing, or at least what phase we're in. We have a level 10 heart journey, which means no matter what's going on in the contradiction, we have peace with God. And we can tap into the presence of God because the presence of God is this level 10 passion process. And the counsel and wisdom of God is this level 10 consolation here. And when you're living with those two tensions, you're going to be at that level 10. You'll be in what we call the convergence zone. That's largely what we're on this module here. Convergence is when you're doing what you're called to do, when you're operating with the gifts, talents, abilities God gave you in the assignment that God called you into. And those moments are the moments of great actualization and great joys. Sometimes you have a taste of it and it teases you, but ultimately you have to believe that there is a role that God has for you that releases you to do the thing you were gifted to do. There's every module will cover either how to walk in level 10 alignment with your heart, level 10 alignment with your gifts and your calling, it's clarity, or it's going to be how do you deal with your past? And that's part of where we're at now. To go into your future, you have to be able to process where you've been. Where you've been is connected to where you're going. In fact, you could say that God has been at work in every season of your life to get you to the place you're at right now. And when you can properly process your history, you're going to see where God has been at work in your experience, where God has already been using your circumstances long before you even knew he was there to shape who you are. When we come into this study, we'll find out that God put you in your family, put you in your birth order, put you into your time of history, put you into your gender, surprise, surprise, put you into your country. And all those factors were determined before you got here. You didn't have a vote. Then when you show up, you've got certain innate talents, abilities, signature skills, and strengths that properly developed with layers of skill will actually give you that slingshot, that level 10 acumen and skill, which God will use to put you in orbit with your level 10 calling, which is convergence. And yet the process, it has principles, but there's no one way you do it, which is why we teach this model, because God could be at work in your heart right now, or he could be at work on your skill and your knowledge. Or it could be at work and showing you guidance lessons. How do you go to the next step? Or it could be re-clarifying where your face is in the future and updating your vision as to where you're going. And all of it, you're bringing your past with you. Every phase of transformation is a renewing of your mind, a change in the way you think, an updating of the program. It's working with your history to rewrite it in the moment you're living right now. So that's why this product, I have to review this every now and then when we start a new book, because I want you to see that we're going to touch on multiple phases until the picture becomes really clear. When it's clear, it's a beautiful picture, and you'll see, it gives you peace of mind. Even if you're in chaos, you'll go, I know, I have a model, a mental model for what's happening right now.
Mercedes, you want to jump in?
No, I was just thinking how clear that was. I was like, oh, that's so clear. Like, wow. After Lance does a board, it's always like, whoa. No, but I just joke. But I do think, you know, especially in this particular model, the unlocking your story, it really does focus on the past. It focuses on what are the thoughts that are that are limiting you, that are holding you back from stepping into that purpose and that prophetic future. It doesn't matter what age you're at. You could be at any age, because it's like the devil starts young. I don't know if you've noticed, but he targets even the thought processes of children, their worth, what, you know, what they're capable of, what they're not capable of, what their parents say about them, what their teachers say about them, you know, what their friends say about them. So all of these types of scripts that start to get written at very young ages. And we bring that with us. And we're always looking to see if, is this experience validating that insecurity, or is it speaking against that insecurity? And so the material in here is really about helping you like scramble those, we'll just call them ungodly thought beliefs, you know?
Yeah. On a slightly different subject or a topic that relates to the subject, I'm curious how Martin Luther would fall in this particular model. In part because he definitely had the skill set. He had the ability to articulate his perspective of the 95 thesis going against the Catholic Church, but he did not have peace. In history, it says that when he was held in the cages underneath the courthouse, he was tormented by demons at night. So that was definitely because there was a hope that helped sustain that contradiction, but he didn't have joy. He didn't have peace. And there may have been hope, but again, that wasn't necessarily clearly delineated. So I'm curious for you, how would Martin Luther fall in this level 10 model?
Are those Martin Luther's books in blue behind your head back there, by the way?
Yes.
How about that?
Words of Martin
Luther. Well, if we went to Martin Luther's words, here's what we find out. And this is the genius of God. And Carl, it's a very good point.
Thanks.
When we give our life to God, part of the living in this place of passion is God takes the pain of our previous experience. And he takes, only God can redeem the pain and make it serve your promotion. So what God did was he took the pain of Luther's agonizing quest to be good enough to have a clear conscience. And he could never, ever, ever be good enough. He even wore what they call a hair suit. It was like a coarse burlap type of suit that he put upon his body to rub his skin raw. He wore it in the cell to afflict his body because his sinful flesh was always getting his way. And he never had peace with God. It was while Luther was going up the steps that were supposedly the recreated steps of Pilate's judgment hall. And he was kissing the steps as he went up, as all the monks would do, and reciting his ritual saying. And as he got halfway up, the Holy Spirit said to him, "The justified live by faith, not by works." It was like, he heard a voice. Those that are justified do so by faith, not by their works. And he had an epiphany. He suddenly saw the connection. He understood Hebrew. He understood Greek. He could read the Bible in the original languages.
Yep.
All the verses came alive. And he got up and thought, what the heck am I doing? And it was an epiphany that changed the world. He was no longer going to be a prisoner to a system of rituals. What did God do? God took the pain and moved it into his passion. What was his passion? To deal with the religious spirit in the Dark Ages and to tear the Catholic Church apart until it came back to the foundation of its mission, which is justification by faith and teaching the word of God to the people in the language they speak, not the language of the priests in Latin. Mm. So your point is well taken. God will redeem the pain in order to serve the purpose. When we talk about the passion of the Christ, I think it's important to recognize the passion was his pain. But your pain actually gets redeemed. I would say that a person who has no pain has no passion. Because in a very real sense, passion has to do with something that you've experienced that provokes. If you're living in perfect peace and docility, you're probably not experiencing that volcanic surge of energy and emotion and conviction that is dealing with something because you have no pain that you're resolving, no conflict that you're trying to overcome. So pain works, and God redeems our history in order to make it serve his ultimate purpose of putting us into his purpose, his passion. And I'd like you to take a look at page 2, because we only have a minute left in this. Yes, Mercedes?
I was just wondering, too, I mean, I think the most confusing quadrant for me is passion, because I think for the believer, originally how you taught it and then how we just explained it there, it's like adding another layer to it. But I do think passion is one of the hardest ones because, you know, where we started was kind of like, it seems unsanctified to have a passion outside of like, well, I'm just expanding the kingdom.
Right.
Whatever God wants for me, like that's what I'm passionate about.
I want to make a lot of money for God. You know,
for God,
they have
yeah.
this clarifier. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting dichotomy because I think we all possess that. And I think some of that's God-given desires. I mean, the desire to be on stage in front of a camera. I mean, that's a passion God can give you. But I do think, like to Carl's point, and like you said, even in the Gospels, you see I mean, the whole chapter in Hebrews, you know, it's like by faith, these people did this by faith, you know, mm-hmm. they offered. I mean, they're, and then it has the whole section of like a more perfected faith where like they didn't see the promise in their lifetime and they endured suffering, you know, or Jacob, you know, I mean, there's a lot of different examples in scripture where it's like passion itself, or even us, it's like the idea of coming in, engaging with the political system, engaging with, you know, the
right,
evils.
So let's make it real simple,
uh-huh.
because you brought up a lot of, which is what happens, which is when you're learning something, you can mm-hmm. think of all kinds of, well, what about this? What about that? And that's what learning is. It opens up a new window that creates, but does that work? This system will stand the scrutiny of every question you throw at it. That's the reason why it took me 20 years to forge the anvil that I could put the weapons on that would help people get clarity on destiny. So for instance, the answer to your question with a minute left is this. God made the system simple so that a child could do it. I break it apart in its complexity because I'm a teacher and I love the elegance of design. But in all simplicity, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You pray and you seek to please the Father. You read the Bible and you say, Father, what you desire for my life is what I desire for my life. What God will do is give you the desires of your heart. A mischievous dual meaning sentence. God will put in you new desires that are in alignment with what he wants you to do. When you're born again, that happens. When I was young, before I had Christ, I wanted to be Jerry Lewis. I like Jerry Lewis. I like comedy. I want to be an Academy Award celebrity. I had it in me as a high I personality, extroverted, with a yearning to be around people, to be entertaining and speaking and have people that would be enjoying my presence. And it was, as a child, it was my fantasy. And when I became a Christian, one of my best friends went on to Hollywood. In fact, my fiance, we broke up. She was a Saturday Night Live casting director after we broke up. I was attracting people who were entertainers. Mm-hmm. And I was on my way to be an entertainer. But I became a Christian. And you know what I did? I had to step out of theater. I was a star on my own campus doing theater. I was living in the direction I wanted to. Hey, girls love me because I wasn't a jock, but I found something out. If you're a jock or a popular campus actor, either way, you'll have lots of girlfriends. And so I was very happy. I was very popular. And I became a Christian. And a buddy of mine who was a senior at college was on his way to doing comedy in Boston. He said, Lance, he said, we got to start doing comedy around comedy circuits. I thought, man, you're exactly right. That's what I want to do. When I became a Christian, I got convicted. I realized that Jesus was calling me to lay down my plans and seek his, and that the most important thing was souls. The most important thing was the kingdom of God. And so it was death to me. I stepped out of theater. Why aren't you auditioning? Aren't you doing more theater? No. I started hanging out with Christians. That was death to me because all the cool campus kids, I wasn't a party animal anymore. I'm hanging out with the holy rollers. But the more I got into God, the more I realized I want to be a preacher. And what I'm doing now was what I was called to do. It required me to sanctify my passion. But your passion is in you, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian. What Christ does is sanctifies the trajectory of why you do what you do and perfects what it is you do for different reasons. So if you're called to be a billionaire, like a Donald Trump, honey, be a billionaire. But know something, that there'll be lots of billionaires that'll be disappointed when they meet Jesus because they didn't build what he wanted and they didn't use their money for his purpose, but they certainly used his gifts the way, you know, in the right way. So God sanctifies. God will give you the desires of your heart. You probably had them before you were born again. But God will then, as the cross comes into the picture. Now, it's interesting to me now that I think about it, that I didn't barter with God and said, I'll tell you what, I won't go to Hollywood, but I'll be on TV for you. It wasn't my deal. My deal was, I guess I don't do Hollywood. Well, who knows? Probably wouldn't have made it anyway. I just want to serve you, Jesus. That's all I wanted to do. And I walked away from theater. And what did God give me? An anointing to do what I'm doing now. I paid a price for this, obedience. And I didn't do a deal. I followed him and he said, you know what? I think it's an opportunity if you go speak over here. And so I went and spoke. Then the doors keep opening and opening and opening. God will give you the desires of your heart. He'll both put them in you before you're born again and sanctify them, or he'll change them. And you might want to be a this or that, and you'll be, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. He'll give you a new desire. But God's not playing games with your passion. He's not monkeying around with your passion. What he put in you is for the purpose of that destiny you've got, that level 10 destiny. He's not playing games with it. Mm-hmm. Our job is to help you get clear on it and sanctify it.
I think that's great. That's a great answer. I really do. Because again, it's like you think about Jesus in the garden, and it's like that passion in his mind was man reconciled to God. That was the hope that was set before him. And so he endured the cross with that in mind. So you can endure pain when your passion is something higher, something more noble than what God's calling you to, if that's your passion, you know? And like, that's what I was saying, like us, you know, we come in and it's like, no, we want to save our nation. My passion is I want to save my nation. I want something to be there when my daughter is my age, where she still has freedom and liberty and all those things. And so, you know, we endure quite a bit when your passion is something like that, which is interesting.
People will pay a price, Carl, for what it is that they really want. As a matter of fact, I would say that if your purpose is really clear, it's the only thing that people are willing to suffer for is a clear purpose.
And family. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I agree.
Yeah, and family. Speaking of family, I'm glad you said that, because I want to leave with one thought here. We went over by 5 minutes, but I want to actually quote one thought on the first two pages so we don't not make it to the first two pages.
We almost made it to page three, everyone.
We're going to go to page two. Tear it up rubber here, people. The Bible tells the story of how families pursue and complete the passion of God. God is a dream and God is a desire. For instance, when God revealed himself to Moses, he told him, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He put himself into four different generations of activity and said, not I was, but I'm actively involved with your genealogy. It's just like yesterday I was with your dad. Just like yesterday I was with the generation before him. In other words, God is in your bloodline telling a story. You have no idea when you get to heaven that your life didn't begin with you. It began with your parents, and they formed you, and they were formed by their parents. You're working out the redemptive story of God through families. You may not understand all the ups and downs of your life because you're measuring against your own personal history. Mm-hmm. You're not measuring against your father and your mother's personal history. You don't know some of the curses and battles you're facing are the unresolved demonic forces that came in through the bloodline. They meet you, bam, and you break them off. Many of you are in battles, and if you want to know how come, you may not know the story, but there could be a generational drama. And you're going to be the one who breaks the devil's momentum in your household. So let me wrap this up by saying God introduces himself as part of your story, your three-generational story. And for all you know, you could be wrestling with something that didn't even begin with you. But fortunately, it can end with you. And your children, your spiritual children, or your natural children, will be able to walk into a new horizon. And you'll get rewarded in heaven because of what you did that set in motion a new series of events for other people. I want to encourage you to go to Lance, it's level10living.
Yes, sir.
.com.
Level10living.com.
Level10living.com. There's Gold Medal Performance, Your Ultimate Life Strategy, Becoming Unstoppable, and Where We Are Now. which is the mystery of your design, your past, your generational past, the blessings and curses that you're wrestling through, and the trajectory of what you're unlocking right now as you renew your mind. You don't want to miss this. We're going to pick this up again on the next episode, leveltonliving.com. By the way, if you use the code word podcast.
Yes, sir.
Because we do a daily podcast. You can get 20% off the price. So get that 20% off. You can buy just this module, or if you're sold on the idea, go with all four and do it now while the price is where it's at. Grab all four modules, and we'll see you again in our next Level 10 episode.
Thanks for listening to this Lance Wall Now broadcast. If you enjoyed today's show, make sure to subscribe and share the episode. See you tomorrow.